Good morning, brothers and sisters. What a beautiful morning the Lord has given us to look intently into His Word, the Word that tells us how much He loves us. And our scripture passage this morning is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So ends our reading. Please be seated.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, growing up, one of the shows that my brothers and I would like to watch once in a while was The A-Team. Remember that one? The A-Team, kind of this sort of like part Rambo, part Mission Impossible, with a little bit of Keystone Cops all rolled together, right? And they always had these kind of crazy, wild things that they did. You never knew exactly what was going to happen, but you could almost be sure that no matter what the episode was, there was going to be some kind of adventure, some kind of mayhem, something was going to blow up. That's why we watched it, me and my brothers. Also, you could probably depend on almost every episode ending, once the mission was accomplished, that the leader of the A-Team, B.A. Baracus, he would light up a big fat cigar, and he would utter those words, "I love it when a plan comes together." And he's right. You know, it is great when a plan comes together, when everything works out just the way you were imagining it. So, for example, if you're going into business, the first thing you do is you come up with a business plan. You decide what you're going to sell and how you're going to sell and all those other kinds of details. And if you're going to redo your kitchen, you get out some paper and pencil, you start to sketch out some kind of design plan so that you know what it's going to turn out to be. I mean, sometimes we just sort of happen into good things. Sometimes stuff happens purely by accident, good stuff. But it's amazing how much better things work out when you have a plan and then you stick to the plan. So when you are part of, or when you experience a well-run business, or you see a well-designed kitchen. You might think to yourself, somebody had a good idea. Somebody had a really great plan. It was once said that not everything happens by plan. It was once said that if you put 1,000 monkeys into a room, each one with their own typewriter and an endless supply of paper, that randomly, purely by accident, one of them would sooner or later type out Hamlet or something like that. Well, I have to tell you, I don't think so. It would take an enormous leap of faith to believe that. Why? Because it doesn't contain any plan. It's still just monkeys sitting at typewriters. Random is still random. I mean, seriously, you have to work at it to doubt the existence of God, don't you? I mean, seriously, you have to work at it. You have to work hard at looking around you and then coming to the conclusion that, you know what, there's not something bigger than us. There's not something any more intelligent than us. I mean, the book of Psalms puts it pretty bluntly. In the book of Psalms, it says, only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. In fact, it's so blunt about that, it says it twice, both in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Or even if, for the sake of discussion, we wanted to say that, well, you know, evolution is just a fact. It just happened. Well, even if we were going to talk about it like that, we still have to, it still begs the question, well, where did that come from? You see, who put the design in that little bitty DNA, that teeny tiny super complex double helix thingy that we all have in our body, the cells of our body that determine every last detail about our physical being? How did that happen? See, the Bible tells us that everything that exists started with a plan. God promises, as it says in today's reading that we just heard from Ephesians chapter 1, He promises that He is working out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Verse 11. Plan, purpose, will. History isn't random. Your life is not random. The fact that you are here now in this place today in God's house is not by chance. Yes, I know you had a choice. Yes, I know that you didn't have to be here, but all of this is part of God's plan. Behind all of creation, there is a plan. Now, is that important? Does that make a difference? Well, let me answer the question with a question. Have you ever felt sort of lost in life? Have you ever gone through times where you sort of questioned your purpose, what your life was about? Why would God bring you into this world? What were you here for? Have you ever wondered, is it really worth it? Have you ever considered giving up on church when things were difficult, when we began to hurt each other more than we really intended to? Have you ever thought about, just considered giving up, even maybe on life itself, because it seemed too hard? If everything is random, if the universe exists simply by chance, if you owe your existence to nothing more than a great galactic accident, well, then things really don't matter very much, do they? If everything you are is merely haphazard, if it's just arbitrary, if it's unplanned, then it's easy to reduce your entire life to a shrug. What difference? Who cares? Oh, well. And when people have no sense of meaning or purpose to life, it creates a void, and that void is filled by a moral and spiritual chaos, which I think is part of what our American culture is experiencing right now, which we can talk more about maybe a different time. No, the basic question in all of life, the question we all began to ask when we were just 1 or 2 years old, why? Why, Daddy? Why, Mommy? What was the question? There were millions of questions, right? Why is the moon round? Well, God made it that way. Well, why did God make it that way? Well, because God's really smart. He knows what he's doing. Why is God so smart? Okay, we get it. A lot of why. How come? The basic question always comes down to that. Is there a plan? Is the world headed somewhere? Am I as an individual going somewhere? Am I making a difference? Any kind of difference, even the smallest difference. Does my existence matter? Does the existence of beautiful Savior Lutheran Church matter? Is there any ultimate purpose to it all? Because once we have settled that question, well, then everything else starts to fall into place. And what appears at first to be chaos becomes cohesion. What looks like random becomes reason. Mayhem becomes meaning. A while ago, I saw a survey, this is sort of random, by the way. I saw a survey that said that 25% of balding men would at least consider trading 5 years of their life for a full head of hair. Look, I'm not trying to make light of this, okay? But I would hope that none of us would consider the value of life to be found in our appearance, for example, or in the car that we drive, or the job that we have, or the friends that we keep, or all those other kinds of things. No, there's more to life than what appears on the surface, is what I'm trying to say. There is a plan to life, and behind the plan is a planner. And only that, but today God tells us that the center of his plan is humanity. It's you. Listen again to what it says from the Ephesians chapter 1. In him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Do you get that? In other words, God's plan is centered on human beings, his love for human beings, and that changes how we perceive each other. It means we honor not just others here, but everywhere, regardless of who they are, because God made us all. It means that we insist on the dignity of life, of human life, whether that human life is just a single cell that has begun in the mother's womb, or that life that appears to be nearing end, bedridden in a nursing home, because human life deserves dignity. Why? Because it's part of God's plan. Think of it like this. You know, it's summertime and we're all doing a fair amount of traveling and seeing different things and doing the tourist kind of deal everywhere, taking pictures and coming back and showing them to everybody that we can. What are some of the more popular places to visit? Are there any famous random piles of rocks that you enjoy going to? I mean, I can't think of anything. Who gets excited about a pile of rocks, right? I don't. But how about this? Would you make a trip, 1,000 miles or so probably, from here to South Dakota to take time to stare at a big old rock? You probably wouldn't, except what if that big old rock had carved into it the likenesses of 4 famous presidents? You see, then you might consider it. That might be worth some time and some effort. Why? Because obviously it's not random. It's not a random pile of rock. It's carefully planned, carefully, meticulously constructed to meet a purpose. See, that's what we get excited about. That's what we go to great lengths to celebrate and to preserve. And it's what we give value, what we give dignity to. Even the rocks at Stonehenge in England. Maybe some of you have been there. I haven't, at least not yet. But, you know, these big, long rectangles of stone that are up on end make this big circle. We don't completely know what those were for or how they used them. But we still show them a kind of a dignity because, obviously, it was done on purpose. It was done with a plan. And that's how it is with humanity. It seems obvious enough that our bodies are not just a random collection of cells. You are not just a haphazard pile of organic tissue in all these pews and benches. No, obviously there's purpose, intentionality with how we are made. Clearly there is some plan to how we are put together and constructed. And again, behind the plan is a planner, and we call him God. We honor all of human life because it's made by God. And yet, even though human life deserves dignity, not all of us humans all the time are dignified, are we? You know, I'm not going to make the case that human beings are without fault. We all know that's not the case. But it's like the comic strip that I once saw. In this comic strip, there's a preacher and there's a young man. They're outside. It's night. They're just enjoying staring at the stars and the enormity and the beauty of it all. And as they're gazing up at the stars, the young man says, "Preacher, do you think there are extraterrestrials out there?" And the preacher says, "No, I don't think so." So the young man asks, "Well, why do you suppose there are so many who do believe in extraterrestrials?" And the preacher reflects for a moment and he says, "I don't know. Maybe they want to believe in extraterrestrials because they're disappointed in their fellow human being." And then the young man says, "Well, what if there is somebody out there?" And the preacher says, "I guess they'll be disappointed in us too." That may be true. Because even while we speak of human dignity and we hold up human beings as the culmination of God's creation, the truth of the matter is that we can't really make a case that humans, including you and me, are worth saving, worth caring about, worth having a plan for, except for one thing. And it was taught to me like this, just the same way that Trish was showing the children. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. In other words, at the center of God's plan for the world, for the universe, is his love for you. See, there are all kinds of things, all kinds of forces that are at work today that are tearing away at the notion of human dignity. Some say it all started with Darwin, saying that human beings are just another member of the animal kingdom, and it's all that kind of a thing. More recently, others point to genetic engineering, human cloning, other sciences that people are wondering if that's really the right thing to do, if we aren't starting to dabble into stuff that really we have no right to dabble in. Not long ago, IBM developed a computer that could beat every contestant on Jeopardy, and now in just a few years, probably our streets will be filled with self-driving cars. Not all these things are somehow bad. They're not evil in and of themselves, but it can't stop you from wondering, can't stop you from questioning, where does that leave us? What value does humanity have? Are we expendable? no different than the animals on one hand and no better than computers and robots on the other hand. What case can be made for the worth of the human race, for the value of you? Only this, that according to God's word, we are at the center of His plan for all of creation. And if we forget that, life becomes meaningless. It becomes burdensome. But there is a plan, and behind the plan is a planner. And at the center of the planner's plan is you. And that takes us back to today's reading from Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to one more time. It says, "In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." And why? "In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory." The first to hope in Christ? That includes you and me. That includes Christians everywhere. That's who we are. We are people desperately trying to make sense out of a chaotic world and placing all of our hope in Jesus Christ, who is the meeting place. He is the intersection of God and humanity. We are not Pollyannas. We don't turn our backs on the world's problems. We don't ignore the pain or the sadness, but we are those who look reality in the eye and by God's grace have come to realize that despite all of it, life is meaningful. Life is worth living. That through it all, God's plan is inevitable. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have a Savior. We are part of that plan of a Savior who wants to save the whole world. You know, so often we might speak of this whole business of becoming Christian as though it were a matter of us making a decision to do something. But remember what Jesus said. He told His fallen disciples, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." In other words, Jesus had a plan. In the Old Testament, remember what Moses had said in Deuteronomy to, what do we call the Old Testament people? God's chosen. He says, "The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession. The Lord did not set His affection on you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because," you ready for this? "But it was because the Lord loved you." God had a plan. By the way, we're going to be talking more about this whole predestination election thing in Bible study in a couple of weeks, so be ready for that. Friends, God chose you before the world was created, not by merit, but by grace. He chose to love you just because that's what He does. That's who He is. It's not because He saw that someday you would accomplish something great. Not because your potential was more than the average person. Not because you were among the brightest and best the world had to offer. God chose to love you and adopt you into His family because of His grace. And for no other reason than that, that was His plan. So we too are God's children. Not because we came to some decision, but because God already had a decision to come to us. St. Paul wrote this in his second letter to Timothy, "God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Wow. Don't forget that. God chose you before the beginning of time. God chose you before there was even any reason for choosing you. That's how undeserved God's grace is. That's how spectacular His plan is. In other words, God tells us in the Bible over and over again that we're His because He wants us to be His. We are followers of Jesus because He gives us the faith to follow Jesus. We are saved because it's His will to save. It's how God planned it. And God has not only planned that, but He has planned, done everything that needs to be done. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us, bearing the penalty of your sins and mine and the whole world. And He rose back to life after being dead for 3 days as the guarantee that He had defeated sin and death and the devil, all for you. This was His will. This was His plan. And without that plan, what are the odds? Without God's plan, what are the odds that sinners like you and me end up going to heaven? None. Zero. Not even one in the million or one in the billion or one in the trillion. Just none. Those are the odds. But guess what? God doesn't work by odds. God doesn't work by chance. He works with a plan. And He continues to carry out His plan. For people who are not yet saved, who don't know Jesus as their Savior, we are part of God's plan. A plan to communicate and share that message. We are God's plan to reach people in our community, many who are coming here from all across the world who might not even speak the same language that we do, but we are part of the plan. Exactly how it all turns out, which gospel seeds will bear fruit and which won't, we're not privileged to know, except just to know that for sure it all turns out to the praise of God's glory. And for the time being anyway, that's all we need to know. You know, as you may remember, before we moved here to Portland, Carol and I lived in Shreveport, Louisiana, Bossier City, actually, right next to Shreveport. And in Louisiana, gambling is legal, so there are a lot of casinos there, which is sort of an interesting dynamic because most of Louisiana would be considered part of the Bible Belt, and you have all these casinos everywhere. And so they try to strike a balance, and it kind of comes out sort of funny sometimes. They want to promote themselves as places of wholesome fun. And so one of the billboards for one of these casinos in town where we live there in Louisiana, the billboard said this: a good, clean place to get filthy rich. A good, clean place to get filthy rich. Well, what are the odds of that happening? Yes, some people do come out of the casinos a little bit richer. But of course, most people walk away with less money than they went in with because the odds are always favoring the house. But you know what? God does not work by odds. He works against all odds. He works with a plan. Think about it. What were the odds? What were the odds that Abraham would have a son when he was 100 years old and Sarah, his wife, was 90? What were the odds? What were the odds that Moses could convince Pharaoh to release the Israelites from captivity when clearly they were helping the economy? What were the odds that a virgin could have a child? What were the odds that a crucified man who was stabbed right through the heart to boot could come back to life? What were the odds? With God, all things are possible, whatever the odds, because God doesn't work by odds or chance. He works with a plan. What are the odds that you and I would meet each other? It doesn't matter what the odds are if it's part of God's plan. What are the odds that something that we do this month during our fun and friends will make some eternal difference in a person's life? Doesn't matter what the odds are. We do it because we want to be part of God's plan. What are the odds that sinners like you and me end up in heaven, no chance at all, but with God, all things are possible, whatever the odds? Because God doesn't work by odds and chance. He works with a plan. What are the odds that beautiful Savior has a glorifying, wonderful future that serves God It's not a matter of odds. It's a matter of God's plan. And don't you know? Don't you know that God loves it when a plan comes together?